we're digging into some news from the UW system. Professor Sarah Goldrick-Rabb announced she's leaving Wisconsin to accept a job at Temple University in Pennsylvania. She'll continue to be a professor of higher education policy, and sociology in her new position.
The news comes at a time when UW-Madison is spending millions to try to retain the university's star faculty members. Tenure changes and a $250 million state funding cut to the UW system in the current state budget have a lot of UW faculty members worried about the future. And officials at UW-Milwaukee are struggling to figure out where to cut millions of dollars from their campus.
Karen Herzog has been writing about this, and she's here to share the details. She's a higher education reporter at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Karen, welcome back.
Thank you, Veronica.
Well, is keeping top faculty on board turning into an ongoing effort at UW-Madison?
I believe that's probably the case at all campuses, but UW-Madison especially actually has the resources to attempt to retain faculty. They have additional funds available to fend off any raiding of their top faculty.
Well, how much change have we seen in this retention effort since the news of the budget cuts?
Well, it's difficult to quantify how many offers have been made, and it's also difficult to sort out how many faculty have gone out into the market, you know, deciding that I want to leave because I'm concerned about the future here, and how many cases have been other universities seizing on an opportunity that, considering that faculty may be more willing to accept outside offers. I know that in the College of Letters and Sciences at UW-Madison, which is the largest college by far there, they've had about double the activity in the last 6 months of 2015, what they normally see for retention cases.
And I want to look more closely at those numbers, but first let's talk a little bit about a high-profile faculty member who has announced that she is leaving. Sarah Goldrick-Rabb says she's taking a position at Temple University instead, and we talked to her on this program back in January when she said she was considering leaving, and here's a clip from that interview.
I love this place. I intended to remain here until I retired. I am no longer thinking of doing so, and there is only one reason for it, and that is Act 55, which was passed last summer.
And Act 55 being the law that changed tenure policy, Rabb thought for the worst. She says that true tenure has been undercut throughout the UW system. Where is that debate about the tenure policy today?
Well, Veronica, that debate is probably going to continue well beyond when the Board of Regents settles on a final policy, and that is supposed to happen on Thursday. There's a meeting Thursday morning in Madison, on the UW-Madison campus, and there have been recommendations made. There was a task force that met for several months and came up with a recommendation for a policy, and then the Education Committee of the UW System Board of Regents took that policy, made a couple of little tweaks, and then they approved the policy. So the full Board of Regents on Thursday will take a look at it, and they will decide, and what they decide will be, in fact, the policy, at least for now. Obviously, they could change it at some point down the road if they would like, which is something that concerns UW faculty, because it used to be in state statute, and they felt that it was safer, you know, being tucked into state statute. They felt that it would take more to change it or to weaken tenure. So things have shifted a little bit in that direction, but it appears that debate, or at least the decisions on what the policies will be, will come to a culmination on Thursday.
And Karen, I know that you look closely at the numbers that the UW-Madison has spent retaining faculty. We've got millions of dollars being spent for research support and hundreds of thousands for raises. Can you give us a sense about who's getting this money and what types of professors are the most sought after?
Well, it's interesting because the fields that these professors work in are pretty, you know, widely ranging. I mean, you have professors in the humanities. In fact, the professor who received the largest increase in pay is someone who actually works in the humanities. And let's see, what was her pay increase? I think it was $56,421. And she's an associate professor of sociology. She works with the Institute for Research on Poverty and the Center for Demography and Ecology. So here's a sociologist who's at the top of the pay increase scale, but you also have researchers who are in the STEM fields. There were three oncology professors, three cancer researchers, that is, who got the top research grants. And then there was another researcher who's in researches stem cells, and he also received a substantial grant. So these are people that one could perhaps predict based on, you know, the fields that are the most highly competitive and the highest paid. Several of those individuals would be out in the market and quite valuable there. But as I said, there are some in the humanities as well, some in the College of Letters and Science.
And the chancellor said, yeah, this is what is needed, this kind of money to retain these faculty members. There has been some criticism from faculty who aren't seeing this sort of effort to retain them, that morale is low and that maybe more energy should be focused there. What are you hearing?
Well, it depends on who you ask. Obviously, there's morale is an issue within the UW system, and that cuts across all campuses. Faculty have not gotten raises like these individuals did. In fact, there were no across-the-board raises at all this year, and I believe a couple years ago, faculty got like 1% raises, which was the same as other state employees. So there, you know, it's a lot like the marketplace, the private sector marketplace, where you have some who are rewarded, who are, you know, considered the stars, so to speak, and others who, you know, who do really good work but don't draw the same attention and feel like they aren't as appreciated or valued as much. And that's a difficult thing for a chancellor to manage on a campus, because obviously everyone is valued. But there's concern about losing the top talent, the ones that help the university maintain its world-class status.
We're talking with Karen Herzog right now from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, looking at some of the challenges that are facing the UW system in the wake of some state funding cuts. And Karen, it sounds as though there's a mix of optimism. You talked to some professors who've chosen to say, some faculty, and said they assume things will get better. You've talked to other people who said they're worried about the slow degradation of the UW system. Can you tell us about those two perspectives a bit?
Well, there again, I think some people are your perspective to some degree depends on whether you're a person who tends to be an optimist and whether you're a person who tends to think the worst. Now, I don't mean that that's, you know, necessarily always the case here, but there are people who are more optimistic who I think look at the broader picture of the greatness of a university and say that it's not going to be eroded by one budget year, one biennial budget. But that's not to say that those who are really worried don't have reason to be worried at the same time, because it is true that over time you do have a reputation that could be eroded if you don't invest in the quality, and if you start to lose some of those key faculty, if you lose research money. All of those things are measured, you know, with metrics, and their, you know, rankings of colleges are a really big deal for both attracting faculty and students, and also research money. You know, there's a whole lot of things in play there for a university to stay on top of its game.
And moving on to another aspect of this, you've reported on what's happening at UW-Milwaukee. Now, leaders there are trying to cut millions from their budget while still maintaining the integrity of that institution. Give us a sense of what's happening at UW-Milwaukee.
Well, UW-Milwaukee has a unique mission. It's a mission that no other university in the public university system in Wisconsin has, and that is both to serve as an institution of access for urban students, Milwaukee, a lot of these kids are from MPS, and some of them may not be as well prepared for college as others. So there's a significant cost there for developmental education, is what it's called, and that's to get them up to speed so that they are ready for college. That's a very costly mission. And in addition to that, UWM has a research mission. And while it's not the flagship land-grant university in the state, it is an urban research university that has just been elevated to the R1 Carnegie classification status, which puts it in a top-tier group of 118 elite universities. So they have two very different expensive missions that they're trying to accomplish at the same time, with funding cuts, and they also have a structural deficit that they're dealing with because they've lost enrollment the last few years. And when you lose enrollment, you lose tuition money, and tuition money is a big support of revenue.
And Karen, just briefly, UW-Madison, also an R1 research university. Does this mean that these two universities are now on equal footing?
Well, that's a really complex answer. If you ask the folks at Carnegie, the people who do the rank, they're not rankings, it's a classification, they will say that there's a set of metrics, and you basically add up the numbers for these various metrics, and whatever number you end up with is whether you're an R1 or the second class, I shouldn't say second class, an R2, that is. And so it's a numbers game to some degree. It's not considered a status or a ranking. However, to be amongst the top 115, top-tier research institutions does give UWM a certain status in terms of applying for certain research grants that only go to R1 institutions. So it's certainly an accomplishment, and it's certainly something that UWM officials probably can rightly be proud of, obviously. But it's not saying that they are in the same research level in terms of the quantity or the quality necessarily of what UW-Madison produces.
And we're talking to Karen Herzog right now from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We're discussing some of the challenges that are facing the UW system in the face of state funding cuts.
Taking your calls at 800-642-1234. What do you think UW system campuses should do in the wake of these budget cuts? If you are at one of those campuses as a student, staff, or faculty, or administrator, what do you think? How is this affecting what you do? Do you worry about the quality of the UW eroding over time? How big a part does it play in the life of our state? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We're continuing our discussion now about the challenges facing the UW system in the face of state funding cuts. UW-Madison is spending millions to try to retain key faculty members, and UW-Milwaukee is struggling to cut millions from their budget while maintaining the integrity of that institution.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think UW campuses should do to deal with these budget cuts? What kind of changes would you like to see? Do you think we have too many campuses around the state? Could we merge or consolidate them? What do you think of the role the UW system plays in the state, where it's going in the future? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And Karen, I want to get to calls pretty quickly here, but going back to UW-Milwaukee and the situation they're in, they have a frozen tuition right now. They have declining enrollment and state funding, which is not so simple comparatively. Tell us how UW-Milwaukee stacks up when it comes to the funding that they get.
Well, that's actually a really interesting question, because I always assumed that there was a formula that everybody knew how it worked and the history of it. And it turns out that there's not really a good history of that formula and how they determine how much UWM should get and how much the others should get. UWM gets substantially less per student than Madison. And interestingly, Superior gets quite a bit more than Milwaukee per student. Superior has a small enrollment. It's the smallest campus in the UW system, but obviously it still has fixed expenses. So it has to support its buildings, its faculty, its staff, and yet you have UWM with a much larger campus and a dual mission of research and access with less money per student.
And I want to go to our callers now, and we'll pick that up in a bit, but let's take Jim first in Madison. Jim, hi.
Hi, thanks. I'm wondering if you're guest can address the UW colleges. I'm a faculty member in the UW colleges. We're also 13 campuses. You make the point that UW-Milwaukee is the point of access for urban students. We're the point of access for rural students. And we're an extremely important gateway to the four-year comprehensives, in that we take underprepared high school students and prepare them for their junior and senior years on the four-year comprehensives. And, we have an extremely important mission to that access for rural students, people who can't afford to move to a city or stay in a dorm or things like that. So as a sidebar, you know, the faculty salaries in the UW colleges, there haven't been any increase in years for us.
Jim, thanks a lot for the call. Appreciate the points you make there about the colleges being a point for rural students to get in the door at UW colleges. And Karen, we're entering sort of a discussion here where you have UW System President, for example, Ray Cross, saying it's unfair to compare funding for UW-Madison to UW-Milwaukee and the colleges comparing themselves to UW-Milwaukee. Tell us a little bit about the atmosphere that's going on right now and how the colleges are kind of competing with each other for resources.
Well, UW Colleges is an interesting position. As Jim pointed out, it is an access institution. And someone who's really interested in saving money can start out at UW Colleges, get their first 2 years under their belt, and like half the cost of tuition for like a UWM, and then transfer to UWM or UW-Madison or wherever else they would like to go. And obviously, UW Colleges is having the same budget pressures that the others are having. And in the case of colleges, they are doing some changes where they're consolidating the management of campuses. Instead of having a dean at every single campus, they have a dean over four campuses or a few campuses, and they're kind of changing their structure to try to become more efficient. But they are, as Jim said, in a really unique position to educate a large share of Wisconsin students who aren't ready for a four-year college or don't need a four-year education.
Jim, thanks a lot for that call. And UW-Milwaukee, you said it gets far less on the tuition dollar than, say, UW-Madison gets. And how is that funding formula currently being looked at right now? Are people looking at revamping that?
Yes, there's a team of UW system administrators that's looking at that formula. And essentially, when you talk about formula, it's a base funding approach. So whatever they got last year, they will get a percentage if there's, say, there's a cut of $250 million as occurred in this current biennium. Each campus is assigned a percentage. Madison gets 50% of the cut, or if there's an increase, they get 50% of the increase, and then all the other campuses are given their percentage. They're looking at the formula and whether it needs to be changed, and if so, how much. That isn't going to happen in the next year or two. It's going to take a while, and nobody really knows what that's going to be, but it's a formula that was established long ago, before UWM was the institution that it is, and some of the other campuses, too, have evolved. So it's time to take a fresh look at that.
And another caller is next. We've got Duke with us from Milwaukee. Duke, hi.
Hi. I think that the university in Milwaukee needs to have a subject that's so darn interesting and exciting that it attracts attention and people from all over the world. Madison has done that. They've had stem cell research and a number of other interesting things, and I just don't think that that's happening here. The truth of the matter, this is not an economic problem so much as it is the ability of the university to attract people.
Duke, thanks a lot for your thoughts on that. And Karen, is that part of it? Is UW-Milwaukee not doing the research, just getting the attention, getting the grants, for instance?
Well, Duke makes a really interesting point about, you know, every university has to have the things, whether it's majors or whatever it is that it has that attracts students, that makes people sit up and take notice. In Madison, they have the research reputation. In UWM, I don't know if it's regarded, if you think first of all of research, but UWM has really made a name for itself in water research. And the newest School of Freshwater Science, and that's something that they're trying to develop. It's got a highly regarded school of education, engineering, business. There are schools that are well regarded, but Duke is right that there's not one program necessarily that pops up as oh my gosh, you have to go here for this. Although I guess when I think about it, architecture and dance are also high up on the list of programs that UWM is well known for.
And Karen, while we've been talking about funding like this, there is that politically charged question: does the UW system have more campuses than it can currently afford?
That's going to be an interesting question to watch. Because at some point, the UW system isn't going to necessarily be able to cut much more. A lot of people would tell you it's already cut to the bone. So then you have to ask, you know, well, you know, how do you maximize the money that you do have? And maybe it's mergers of campuses. You know, maybe it's changing the missions. I don't know, but there are certainly a lot of people who are asking that question, is are there too many campuses, and if so, which ones need to be changed? Or I haven't heard of anybody saying a campus needs to be closed, but it certainly is a valid question, and lawmakers would agree with that.
And we had a Facebook comment from Andy on this who said, nobody wants to consolidate campuses, but it really is a bit absurd how many of them we have. Most state university systems have regional campuses, not one for every two or three counties. So there's one Wisconsin Citizens perspective on this. And what have you heard from legislators?
Well, I spoke last week with Senator Darling from River Hills here in suburban Milwaukee, and she said that it's a question that has to be asked, because when you think about the number of campuses that we're supporting, you know, you also have debt service, you have buildings, you know, it's a big infrastructure. It's a question that has to be asked, but it is a very difficult political question, because you're talking about an economy in a community. You're talking about jobs in a community. But there are several campuses in northern Wisconsin that are in very close proximity to each other. They already have done some things to, you know, cooperate in terms of, like, you know, figuring out ways to save money in IT and HR, things like that, you know, with regionalizing that approach in the campuses. But there's going to have to be more of that, no doubt about it.
And Karen, just very briefly as we wrap up here, in the context of history and based on your reporting so far at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, what do you think in terms of this budget squeeze? How tight is it right now?
That is a difficult question to answer. You ask anybody in the UW system, and they'll say that they can't imagine it being any tighter than it already is. You talk to lawmakers, and they say, well, you know, there's some fat that could still be trimmed. Everybody seems to have a different perspective of how tight it is, and I think time is going to tell.
Karen, thanks so much.
Thank you, Veronica.
That was Karen Herzog, higher education reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. She was with us there to talk about some of the challenges, financial especially, facing the UW system campuses after state funding cuts.